because I'm a token Bostonian. I think that's why I was chosen for today. Many of the other Bostonians have gone to actual Boston today because they're celebrating that 60th anniversary observance. But I wanted to, instead of chanting our normal Jai Radha Madhava, I thought, well, Srila Prabhupada wrote two songs. We hardly ever sing them. Why don't we sing them? You recited them. That was close to singing. Yes, very close. also, I wanted to make we're observing it today because now we're following lunar calendar. But us Bostonians, from some time ago, it was always September 17th. September 17th was the day because it was easier to remember. You don't have to look up to see what day it is this year or next year. But anyway, that's just but today, actually, September 13th was the day he actually wrote this first of the two songs. So I thought, why don't we, because they recited the September 7th, well, actually September 18th song this morning, why don't we sing this? Now, it is somewhat long, so I figured, and not too many people are familiar with it, so I thought, we'll put it up on the screen, we'll do a very very piecemeal, so that you can see what we're singing, but also see the translation, so we don't get lost. And then I thought, okay, we'll do responsive just on the refrain, and then we can all sing in unison for the other 9 verses. And so when you sing in unison, there are some rules to that. First, get acquainted to the tune, and don't impose your own tune on the unison tune. And so slowly, until you get comfortable with the tune, then go ahead and sing with all your force and might and like that. So again, the one last comment is on the refrain. I don't know how, when Srila Prabhupada wrote this, if he had a tune in mind, and I don't know if any of the devotees know. I think this tune was originated either by Achyutananda or Jai Sachinandan or one of the devotees back then. But we'll give our best shot at it. So we'll have the refrain repeated after every 3 verses, and we'll do that call and response, all the other ones in unison. Okay. This may fail terribly. What's that? Yes. And beats or no beats, we can do it if we need it, but I'm not accustomed to a beat, but I believe it's a 1, 2, 3. No, you get, but just softly, you'll catch on. Krishna tava punya bebai. Krishna tava punya bebai. E punya kodi be jabe radha dani kushi habe. E punya kodi be jabe radha dani kushi habe. Juva ati boli tomatai. Juva ati boli. And then all together. Shri Siddhanta Sarasvati Sachi Sutta Priyati Krishna Sevaya Jaratu Lanai Se Se Mohanta Guru Jagater Madhye Uru Krishna Bhakti Deya Tai Tai. Krishna Bhakti Deya Tai Tai. Tada Icha Bhalavan. Pachyatyete tan tan hoy jate gaurangenam Prithivitinagaradi Ashamudra nadanadi Sakale loy Krishna nam Sakale loy Krishna nam Tahale ananda hoy Tabe hoy digvijay Chaitanya Kripa Atishai Maya Dusta Jata Dukhi Jagate Shabhai Sukhi Vaishnaveri Chapurna Hoy Vaishnaveri Chapurna Hoy Krishna tava punya bebai Krishna tava punya e punya koribe jabe radha dani kushi habe e punya koribe jabe radha dani Juva ati bolito matai. Juva ati bolito. Se karya je kori bare, agya jadi dile more, jogya nahi ati dinahina. Tai se tomada kripa jagite chi anurupa ajitumi sabar prabina ajitumi sabar prabina tomara se shakti pele guru seva vastu mile Jivana sartaka jadi hai Se se seva pele tahale suki hale Tava sangha bhagyate miloi Tava sangha bhagyate miloi Evam janam nipatitam prabhavahikupe Kama bikama nanuya prapatan prasangat Kritvatma satsudasina bhagavan grihita Soham katam nuvrishaje tava brijya sevam Krishna tava punya bebai Krishna tava punya bebai E punya koribe jave radharani kushi habe E punya koribe jave radharani kushi habe Juva ati bodhito matai Juva ati bodhito matai Tumi mochira sati Bulia maya lati Kayachi janma janmantare Aji punae sujoga jadi hoy joga joga tabe pari tu he mili bade tabe pari tu he mili bade tomara milane bhai abar se sukha pai Gocharane guri din bor Kota bhane chuta chuti bhane kai luta puti se din kabe habe mor. Se din kabe habe mor. Aji se suvidane tomara smarana belo. Boro ashada kilam tai ami tomara nitya dase tai koriete asha tumi binanya gati nai tumi binanya gati nai. Everybody, Krishna tava punya habe bhai. Krishna tava punya habe bhai. E punya koribe jabhe radha rani kushi habe. E punya koribe jabhe radha rani kushi habe. Juvati borito matai. Juvati borito matai. Juvati borito matai. Juvati borito matai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So just on this day, in his diary, he said, today is the 32nd day. That's September 13th, not September 17th. So just not to confuse on our days here. After midnight yesterday, the lurching decreased and I felt relief. In the morning, I also could not take my breakfast properly. I then cooked bati chachari. It appeared to be delicious and I was able to take some food. Today, I have disclosed my mind to my companion, Lord Sri Krishna. There is a Bengali poem made by me today in this connection. So, to the Prabhupada ki jai. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Om Ganata Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuna Munditan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadam Tikam Namaste Giriraja Shri Govardhana Namaneya Shesha Kleshanashaya Palamananda Dayane Vrindavani Vrinde Vishva Pujita Pushpa Sada Nandani Krishna Jeevani Vishva Pavani Tulsi Vancha Kabaturubhascha Kripasundubhivacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So today we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service, Texts 154 through 159. And just to set the scene, because we only touch this once a week, Lord Chaitanya is speaking to Sanatan Goswami about devotional service. And for the first 135 or so verses of this chapter, it was focused on Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And then I think in the last class or the last two classes, he began to introduce Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti or Ragatmika Bhakti. And so today he'll continue that, and this will go on to the end of the chapter. I think we'll probably have two more classes to finish this chapter. So, I guess we'll chant the first one. Virajantim abhivyaktam Vrajavasi janadishu Ragatmikam manushrita Yasa raganu gochatye. Please chant. Viranjantim abhirvyaktam. Ragatmika manushrita. Sasa raga nugochate. Viranjantim abhivyaktam. Bhajavasi janadishu. Ragatmika manushrita. Sasa nugochate. Viranjantim abhivyaktam Bhajabasi janadishu Ragatmikam manushritya Yasaraganugochate Viranjantim abhivyaktam Bhajabasi janadishu Ragatmika manushrita Yasa raga nugochate. Okay, the translation by Srila Prabhupada. Devotional service and spontaneous love is vividly expressed and manifested in the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Devotional service that accords with their devotional service is called Raganuga Bhakti, or devotional service following in the wake of spontaneous loving service. And very short purport, this verse is found Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-270. And then I'll read the rest of my verses. 155. When an advanced realized devotee hears about the affairs of the devotees of Vrindavan in the mellows of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, he becomes inclined in that way and his intelligence becomes attracted. Indeed, he begins to covet that particular type of devotion. When such covetousness is awakened, one's intelligence no longer depends on the instruction of Shastra, revealed scripture, logic, or argument, and that is Bhakti Rasamrita 1-2-292. As you may remember, these instructions by Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana shared with Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami put them into his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and in the next chapter into his Ujjvala Nilamani. This is 156 and 157. There are two processes by which one may execute this Raga Nuga Bhakti, external and internal. When self-realized, the advanced devotee externally remains like a neophyte and executes all the Shastric injunctions, especially hearing and chanting. However, within his mind, in his original purified self-realized position, he serves Krishna and Vrindavan in his particular way. He serves Krishna 24 hours, all day and night. 158. The advanced devotee, and this is another quote from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-295, the advanced devotee who is inclined to spontaneous loving service should follow the activities of a particular associate of Krishna in Vrindavan. he should execute service externally as a regulative devotee as well as internally from his self-realized position. Thus, he should perform devotional service both externally and internally. And finally, 159. Actually, the inhabitants of Vrindavan are very dear to Krishna. If one wants to engage in spontaneous loving service, he must follow the inhabitants of Vrindavan and constantly engage in devotional service within his mind. So somehow or other, I was given no purports. So that means what? That means I can pull any purport I want, right? So thank you for that. Srila Prabhupada's translations, Ki Jai. So this, obviously, this will bring up two topics of discussion when we read this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh, this is for somebody else. This is not for me. Because I am not a pure devotee. I am not advanced. This is just speaking of those devotees. But then, the second is, well, why is it presented in Chaitanya Charitamrita? It is for the hearers who are practicing reading, right? Reading is a practice. It's a method of activity to engage in Krishna service. And we're hearing it. And so do we just hear it and let it pass through our ears and like, okay, that's for somebody else, not for me. So I've, along that line, those are the purports I search for of Srila Prabhupada's encouragement to go ahead and begin this. Again, looking around the room, there are a good many of us have been around for a long time and some of us for a very short time. So this will apply differently to each and every one of us. Even if I happen to join on the same day as somebody else, still the way we've practiced or performed devotional service may have lessened my path and advanced another's. And so maybe it's applicable to that person more intently than it is for me. So we can't exactly, you know, because a lot of times what we find ourselves doing as being conditioned in the material world, conditioned by the sun's movements, by the clocks on our wrists, by schedules and everything, we think everything is in a very linear thing that, okay, I've done this, now I will do this, now I will do this, and each one is substance. But if you actually look at our own lives, yeah, I went like this, then I went like this, then I went, it's like all over the place sometimes. So when we can't exactly look at linear things in a linear way when we're hearing about transcendental, I mean the very word transcendental means it is beyond the influence of the time, of the modes of nature, of the material existence altogether. It's transcendental. So we can't exactly apply that, okay, I've been a devotee for X amount of years, therefore now I should do this as prescribed. But this will come naturally through the process of devotional service. One devotee friend in Vrindavan, he always used to give an example that made it this very clear of when one may be ready. And he likened our journey or our consciousness to a sitar. So a sitar, if anybody knows what a sitar is made up of, a sitar is made up of two sets of strings, at least two. And I'm not a musician, so please don't quote me on that. But there are strings that you pluck, and then there are strings that are called reciprocal strings that vibrate. And so as we're performing devotional service, something may start to vibrate in us that, oh, I am very attracted to Lord Nrisimhadev, and I want to look more into Lord Nrisimhadev. Or I am very attractive to Lord Nityananda's pastimes, and you focus on Nityananda's pastimes. So that reciprocation, the reciprocal strings to the plucked strings are process of hearing, chanting, purifying ourselves. Chaito Darpana Marjanam is the plucking of the strings. And it's going to vibrate. But the problem, at least my problem, is my strings are rusty. They're very rusty. And so sometimes I may, you know, it's so rusty, you can hardly get a good tune out of them. And therefore, sometimes the reciprocal strings may not move at all if we're so rusty. And so we may all start at that point. We're very rusty, and okay, Chaito Darpana Marjanam, it's going to slowly and effectively and assuredly purify us. And when the purification starts to come from, again, as Rupa Goswami's example is, that by constant water, you don't like water, okay, once it's a grown plant, we stop watering, no more watering. But even in one of these verses, it says it's still continued by hearing and chanting. That process is continued, whether one is in a Vaidhi sadhana action or ragatmika action, there is hearing and chanting. So the hearing and chanting never stops. We're constantly purifying. And the reciprocal strings will continue to vibrate. And that will be our attraction. That is our attraction. We may not have attraction. We may think, wow, this is such a chore to chant 16 rounds and to get up in the morning to read Srimad Bhagavatam is such a chore. There may be, you know, maybe a while before reciprocation comes. But reciprocation will come, and because, again, our second song that we sang of Prabhupada this morning after Mangal Arati, he was so sure of it. Actually, if you look at the two songs, I'm just going all over the place. I didn't have a purport. I can't blame me here. So if you look at the two songs, one is on the September 13th, and he arrived on the 17th. So he must have gotten word from the captain that we are about to enter into United States waters or whatever the terminology he would use, but we're only like 3 or 4 days away. And you can feel the enthusiasm in that song. Sri Siddhanta Saraswati Sachi Sutta Priya, by the power of Lord, he is that Mohanta Guru, he is that great Guru, he is, by his instructions, this whole movement of Lord Chaitanya. And what is Lord Chaitanya's movement in the Adi Leela? It's to spread Krishna consciousness, anarpita, and not only spread Krishna consciousness as the Yuga Dharma, but to give something that no other incarnation has given before. So that song is just full of that excitement. You can almost feel it when we sing it. But then they landed in Boston on September 17th, or today we are observing that day. And then he walked off the boat with the captain through South Boston. So if anybody has been to South Boston, even when I was there in the 80s, it was a pretty sad looking place. It was I could just imagine in the 60s. So this was Prabhupada's very first interaction. It's almost like he was an alien coming from another planet. And here are the first encounters with close encounters with these Americans. And he could immediately see Rajas, Tamas, they're just completely covered. You know, you can imagine, even like the biggest city in India at that time in the 60s, the rickshaws, they would all have little shrines of either Shiva or Ganesh or Kali or something. There was always some sort of cultural influence, even in a rickshaw wala's, you know, bicycle. But in America, there was nothing. There wasn't even a sign of like any cultural like advancement. It was all just industry, of course, yeah, the Commonwealth peer areas, industry, all the stuff is coming in and being sorted and distributed. But then even into the town, you know, he saw butcher shops and he saw things like that. And this was his first encounter. And then the second song was like, oh, why have you brought me to this horrible place? Of course, us Bostonians, we feel okay. We're okay that we're amongst those horrible. It's kind of like a nice feeling that Prabhupada recognized us. But then it was... What did he didn't like, you can almost say that a lot of people would have just got back on the boat and gone back home after seeing such a cultural shift as he saw. But no, he didn't. He got back and what did he was certain, he said, why did you do it? Why did you bring me here? And his last song was like, sure, we're gonna Sri Siddhanta Saraswati, we're gonna Mohanta Guru, we're gonna distribute Krishna consciousness so easily. And then he saw, oh. So then he's teaching us by this song that Shrinvata Swakata Krishna. Krishna's words are so purifying that they act within the heart. And he had such faith in that. He had such faith in that. You could feel it in that song. Two verses before, he said, your words in Bhagavat are pure. And, you know, and then he says, okay, I know your words can do it. So now, can you put the power of your words into my words? That's his prayer. He's asking that. And so we have Prabhupada's words in these books. And so the power, the same power of those very core verses on hearing and chanting, Srinvata, Nasta Pareshu, Badreshu, Rajas Tamas Dubobam, all those are infused in Prabhupada's books. They're Krishna's. He would often say it is Krishna who is writing these books. And so when we read and hear these things, naturally that's part of our process of cleaning our rusty strings. And we should eventually, or sometimes rapidly, sometimes maybe not for a long time, we should start to feel some reciprocal strings starting to vibrate. And that is an indication. We shouldn't be afraid of it. Oh, now I'm a sahajiya. Because Prabhupada would explain who are sahajiyas and who are devotees on the rag platform. They're completely different. The sahajiyas are those that are looking for some material taste out of some spiritual concept. Whereas the ragatmikas, they're just looking for the and what it says in the, it is in the wake. So when you see a boat coming, when you see the wake of the boat, it spreads and it opens a channel. So in the wake of that attraction, where is that exact quote? Which one of the verses was it? Hard to find. I know we read it. Was it the first? Yeah, there it is. Oh, thank you. Devotional service. Devotional service that accords with their devotional service is called ragatmika bhakti. So accords means there's like if you have an accord, you know, two countries will make an accord. It's an agreement. They don't conflict. There's no confliction. So it accords with our examples, Nityananda, Sri Chaitanya, and the Brajavasis, Brajavasi Janadishu. When we start to see that, how we're according to that. And okay, I was going to read a purport, and I got completely sidetracked. So Srila Prabhupada talks about this according and about this, it's almost an encouragement for us to go ahead. And if we're practicing, we should go ahead and evaluate and look at that. Look at that reciprocal string that may be happening in our being, in our heart. So this is some of his last purports. when he's speaking on Damodar Lila, and he's the verse, Sukadeva Goswami, two verses, describing Mother Yasoda, describing her activities, always hearing and chanting about Krishna, whether he's killing Putana, he's Shatakasura. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, it appears that Mother Yasoda did not want to forget Krishna's activities at any time. Therefore, she poeticized all of Krishna's childhood activities. This should be the practice of persons eager to remain Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. That was also a recommendation. They serve Krishna and Vrindavan in a particular way. They serve Krishna 24 hours a day, all day and night. That was verse 157. So here Prabhupada is saying, we our eagerness, Srinvata Sokata, those who have an urge to hear about Krishna, eventually they'll have the urge to experience Krishna, to remember Krishna all the time. This incident shows how Krishna conscious Mother Yasoda was. And then this is Prabhupada's like gift and encouragement to stay in Krishna consciousness. Raise your hand if you want to stay in Krishna consciousness. Okay, I think everyone except Acharya. Okay. We should follow such persons. So he didn't put any other restriction there. Oh, wait till you're a pure devotee. Wait till something happens. Wait till it's almost, you can say, religionosity. Sometimes they say, well, yes, it'll just happen. I will devote, or I will submit my declaration that I am a servant, I surrender, and then I'll be free. And I don't have to change what I do. But no, we should follow these persons. There's an action. It's not that we just keep with the same old. Especially as we grow in Krishna consciousness year after year after year. 1 year, we should have grown, and we should be seeing, okay, what are the symptoms? Bhakti. Our devotion to Krishna increases. Parishanubhava. We start to experience and see Krishna everywhere. And I think that's also here. Antar bahir. Antar, internally and externally, we start to perceive Krishna. Queen Kunti says, antar bahir avasitam. We are seeing Krishna everywhere. And then viraktir. We start to renounce. So when we don't see some progressive in those three, then maybe there's something we have to consider on our practice. Are we using the right rag to... What if I'm using a wet rag on my strings? That's just going to make them more rusty. You got to use a little oil on the strings to take that rust off, and sometimes you got to apply it for a long time. Maybe a little abrasive. Abrasive is like going to Vrindavan. Going in pilgrimage, you know. It's like, it takes a whole... Prabhupada said that even a non-devotee will experience separation from Krishna when they go to Vrindavan. Imagine that. Imagine if we're... And that's, what is it? Kamutyanaya. That's the logic of if not this, that, right? So it's, if a non-devotee can experience separation... automatically in Vrindavan. What about if I intentionally go to Vrindavan to purify myself and to experience Krishna and to hear about Krishna from the devotees there? Don't you think there'll be like a whole lot more? Yeah. And then he gives further encouragement in the next verse. Dressed, and he gives, this is the Sukadev's verse, dressed in saffron yellow sari, with a belt tied about her full hips. So, take a moment and hear this, because this is what Prabhupada is going to recommend us to do. dressed in a saffron yellow sari, with a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Yasoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and Malati flowers were falling from her hair. And Prabhupada says, anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious, okay, everyone, yay, Acharya, we got him. Anyone who desires to be Krishna consciousness in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yasoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Yasoda, for this is Mayavad. Either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitorship, in any way, we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, not to try to become like them. So we follow. And who are we following? We're following Lord Chaitanya. We're following Rupa Goswami. All of these verses, Rupa Goswami is hearing from Sanatan. He puts in our nectar, in our Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Srila Prabhupada has given it to us in our nectar of instruction. We read those again and again. Bar, bar, and again, in that verse, the second one, we hear Bhagavat Katha, bar, bar, that we hear over and over and over again. Nasta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevya. Devotees must cherish this description. We cherish these descriptions. Whenever we have a chance to hear about Krishna, his form, his interactions with his devotees, oh, let's perk up our ears. Let's cherish that. Always thinking of Mother Yasoda's features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautiful the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yasoda in maternal affection for Krishna. So these are very encouraging words from Prabhupada. And then he also speaks on the converse, that what happens if we don't become attracted? So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he writes a very, actually very strong purport. And I will just take a part of it, because I don't want to scare us too much. But this is from the Adi Lila, chapter 4, text number 35. And so this is a description of Lord Chaitanya tasting Krishna consciousness and Krishna's manifestations. The verse is, here is the use of the verb bhavet, which is the imperative mood and tells us that this certainly must be done. Non-compliance would be abandonment of duty. So as we take up duties, as we take vows to chant our rounds, to become purified, to go through the process of purification, that's now our duty, to continue on that path. And then Prabhupada says, it is imperative. Neophytes will be able to understand these affairs only after being elevated by regulated devotional service. So we, again, the timeline for each of us is going to be different. And we can't say, okay, now it's your turn, now it's my turn, they just joined, how could they be experiencing? No, there's a comment, and it's from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur when he's describing Krishna and Radharani having a discussion about love. And he says there that you can't really talk about your own love. As soon as you begin to articulate it, it disappears from the heart. And there was, I've heard another example of that, is that if you imagine like a candle in your heart, let's just say there's a cavity there and there's a candle, and it's blowing, you know, when a candle is, you know, when in a windless place, it burns very nicely. So that candle may be the taste, maybe the attraction, maybe this internal that Lord Chaitanya is speaking to Sanatana about. That's that internal focus of the devotee. The candle is burning very nicely. But as soon as we open our mouth to speak about it and take and go, it extinguishes, that wind will blow out the candle. So it's Vishwanath Chakravarti. So you can't really just say, oh yeah, today I was experiencing such bliss. And you know, these are internal things. Externally, the instruction is very clear. Hearing, chanting, associating with devotees, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, residing in a holy place. These are like, those are our certain most powerful activities of devotional service. But internally, the encouragement and instruction here is that we should be starting to think of that, are any of those strings vibrating? Am I actually becoming attracted to a certain, and should I ignore it and think, oh no, here I am, I'm going sahajik? No, we fan it internally. And then he says something, this is what he says, the strongness. One who has not been attracted by the transcendental beauty of rasa, so rasa is the relationship, it is that thing that the raga, ragatmika and the raganuga practice is bringing that strength of that relationship. As long as one is not attracted, we will certainly be dragged down into material attraction, thus to act in material contamination and progress to the darkest region of hellish life. So you could say, well, that's, it's like encouragement by default, right? It's almost like the, you know, the what is it, the fire and brimstone, that if you don't clean those strings and get those reciprocal strings going, you're going to be dragged down. Because we do have a relationship with Krishna. And this process of devotional service, what is it? Prakritam hridi sadyata. It is natural. It is inherent within us. It's just to be awakened through sadhana bhakti. And as it's getting awakened, then we start to do it. And he says, but by understanding the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, one is freed from the grip of attraction to material so-called love between man and woman. He says this also in the Krishna book when he's introducing the rasa dance. That he, you know, it's almost like, whoa, wait a minute. If you have material attachment to material sex life, you should read this. He's like, whoa, that's... But that if we don't, then we, you know, and again, after some time of practice, we should have some attraction to one of these five rasas with Krishna. Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. And we should start, and he gives an example. Similarly, if one understands the pure parental love of Nanda and Yasoda, as we read from the other purport, they will be saved from being dragged into material parental affection. He uses the same word again, being dragged. It's like, you know, how many times if we're not like focused on, and he gives the same line practically for every one of the relationships, you know, for friendship, for neutrality, and for servitorship. So that's encouragement by encouragement in one way, and then the other encouragement is very open and go ahead and hear. But again, we don't do them prematurely and we don't do them without care and attention. So much is said about practicing with care and attention. So I think I will stop here. And although it says the Srimad Bhagavatam class ends at 8:45, is that the same for the Chaitanya Charitamrita class? Oh, there's a loophole here. But we can have questions and answers now. Anybody? Yeah, yes, Ekadasi.
Hare Krishna. I'd like a little more elaboration on following in the footsteps. Is that performing daily sadhana, or is there more to it than that?
Well, there were no purports. But yeah, in other places, yes, there is indications by our acharyas, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he's looking at this very same practice, there's examples of how one should do it. In Nectar Devotion, it has toward the end there, and then in Ujjvala Nilamani, there's also the prescriptions of how to do that. But again, we have to be very careful of what that means. Prabhupada warned twice in that purport, it doesn't mean that we become like them, but we follow in their footsteps. So following in the footsteps, does anybody else? Let's hear what some of the assembled devotees have. What would you say is following in the footsteps? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Bol. So I've a lot of times when I'm traveling and preaching, these questions come up. Actually, the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us that has come down in our line, the process itself is Raga Nuga Bhakti. The question becomes our maturation to understand that. There is no practice of any kind of bhakti that doesn't follow rules and regulations. Every process has vidhis involved in it. Shravanam Kirtanandani, Vaidhi Bhakti Siddhanti 2 is one of the verses that's quoted about Raga Nuga Bhakti. So there's no question that there's an abandonment of rules and regulations. It's the perspective. So an example is there that if two people are going to university, if one person is inspired by a particular career field, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a lawyer, that may have come from the inspiration of a particular mentor that they had or someone they saw. Another person enters university, they don't have a specific career field in mind. Even if that's the case, both have to take the prerequisites. You have to go to math, English, so if you can't go to university, I want to be a doctor and you go into med school. Mm-hmm. You both have to take the prerequisites. So in the same way, when people come to devotional life, then everybody has to follow the rules and regulations, but according to previous sanskars also, praktanaka duni chasti yatsat bhakti vasana. If you had previous sanskars from a previous life, perhaps the natural attraction towards a particular mood of service is more mature at the devotee at that time. Prabhu, you mentioned it when you were giving your class. So each individual's position is a little different. So that particular inclination towards a mood of service comes from the association of devotee with that mood. But if we look at our practice in general, Srila Prabhupada, if he had come to America and established deities of Lakshmi and Narayan, would anybody have known the difference? But he established deities of Radha Krishna, Govindatai, Krishna Balaram, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, all are related to Vrindavan. Some exceptional cases were the establishment of the deities of Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman. So if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's very clear there, Sakale Jagatir More Vari Bhakti Vrajabhav Paiti Nai Sakti. You cannot truly do the worship of Radha and Krishna in Vaidhi Bhakti. So then what does that mean for us? The path itself is rag. It's just a question of our maturity and ability to resonate with the practice at that level. And as Prabhuji's mentioned, if you try to jump prematurely to that, you'll impose material concepts there. That's called Prakrita Sahajavad. You understand? But the path itself is rag. If you look from the very time we wake up in the morning and we sing Guru Astakam, in the sixth line of the Guru Astakam, we're singing Nikunja Yuno Rati Keli Siddhai. Then we start doing Tulsi Parikrama. Mora Eya Vilas Vilas Kunji Diyo Vash. Please make me a resident of Vrindavan. Give me Vila. You understand? So the process is informing what it is. Plus, at the time that we take second initiation or diksha, I'm not repeating mantras here, but everybody has the mantras. The Kam Gayatri mantra is mentioned in Majjalila chapter 8. Vrindavane apakrita navina madan kam bij kam gayatri yan rupasan. It is meant for the worship of Radha and Krishna. You understand? So at that time, a specific mood is given when you take your second initiation. It's just that most time when we take second initiation, it's a festival. We're absorbed, our friends are there. And for men, you get the nice string and everything. So we don't really dive in deeply to what's happening. But Jiva Goswami is told, Divya Gyanam Yanta Shimanti Mantre, Bhagavat Sarup Gyanam Tena, Bhagavat Visesh Sambandha Gyanamstra. At that time, in a seed form, in the mantra, your particular relationship with Krishna is being given. So then when you're practicing and the consciousness is becoming more pure, the clarity of what was given at the time of diksha starts to become mature. And as he mentioned, you keep that in your heart and you go on practicing, and there's a natural organic unfoldment through the stages. Shraddha, sadhu, sangha, bhajana, kriya, anatta, nivritti. In the stage of nishta, there's not so much influence of the material energy. So the verse that's quoted here, tatad bhavadi madhura shruti diadakshate, now you can taste something of the rasa samagri in our practice. That stage is called ruchi. And then it matures and matures. That ruchi becomes a sakti. In a stage of a sakti, there's a deep longing. Then the internal energy will descend through the sattva viseshatma, prem, suyangsa, samyabhak. That time you'll come into bhav and it'll become crystallized. What it is my mood. What is my formic? All these different things like that. But if we're following the process that Srila Prabhupada gave, all of these things are inherent in the process.
And I think to sum it up, following is similar when we ask the question, how do you become sincere? Prabhupada answered, you hang out with people who are sincere. So following the residents of Vrindavan could mean, well, you follow those who are following the residents of Vrindavan, like Srila Prabhupada, like, you know, or those who do it. And, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, many times in his songs, he's expressing his affiliation to Janava Devi and to Lalita, and, you know, but so he has this affinity. But, you know, it's quite remarkable in his songs how he, like, and again, this is his mood, he is stating his disqualification, but then he's asking for this thing that is like, wow. So his disqualification is really his qualification to do that. So there's always humility. It's always, we'll keep that part internal of how I'm going, how I'm following that that spark, the flame, the reciprocal string. How am I doing that? That we want to keep it in line, of course, always. And so that's why we have our actual sadhana to keep us. Well, thank you for your comment. Thank you. Is there any other final thoughts? Yes, Acharya.
Thank you for the great class. An interesting, actually favorite part in section in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada is discussing this transition from Vaidhi to Raganuga. And he gives the example that a person in the beginning goes to the temple and goes to the Mangalarti because the spiritual master has ordered him. But then when this is not verbatim, but
yeah.
But then when he becomes advanced, he wants to go and he thinks of ways to serve and decorate the deities. And that's his sort of analysis.
Yeah.
And that, of course, that's not like a technical or a complete definition of Raganuga Bhakti, but I really love it. It's like a way for, you know, those of us in Vaidhi Bhakti or even struggling with Vaidhi Bhakti to sort of, you know, reach out and, you know, touch the hem of the cloth of Raganuga Bhakti in a way that, you know, to cultivate that you have a taste for a service, you want to do it, You want to serve the deities, you want to hear the class, the kirtan, that it's not the totality of Raganuga Bhakti, but the first, or your example, the first vibrations, beginning vibrations of those sympathetic strings is there in just wanting to do it.
Thank you. Okay, we can end here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.